the difference, I think, between James O'Brien's approach and me is that, so far as I'm aware, he's never run a business, never employed anyone, never created wealth. Well, I like to think I have. I've started or run 7 businesses over the years, and I treat people who work for me as colleagues, not peasants who I can exploit. I've probably employed more than 400 people over the years, and I reckon I'm confident enough to say that not a single one of them would think that they've been treated badly by any company that I've run. Now, I don't pretend that London Underground have behaved perfectly in this dispute, as my interview with their director, Nick Brown, demonstrated yesterday. But nor are they the ogres that Asleff and the RMT tried to pretend. Now, the fact is that London Underground have let the transport unions get away with blue murder over the years. They've caved in time after time after they've been held to ransom. And perhaps this dispute shows that they're determined that this won't happen in the future. And if so, good. This dispute isn't about an annual pay rise. It's about that old favourite of the unions. It isn't about the old favourite of the unions, health and safety. It's about the so-called work-life balance. Well, let's look, shall we, at the work-life balance of a London Underground worker. Well, tube drivers work an average of 36 hours a week for a starting salary of close on 50 grand, rising to 60 grand over 5 years, and with 43 days holiday. So plenty of time for a so-called work-life balance and the money to pay for it too. And you contrast that with a police officer or a firefighter who works more than 50 hours a week with a starting salary of £19,000 a year and 22 to 28 days off. Not 50, not 43. Or a nurse or a teacher. I could go on. Well, good on the tube drivers. I don't begrudge them a penny of it. Well done to their unions for negotiating it. And of course, not all London Underground workers are so well paid. Station staff get around £30,000, with supervisors earning around £40,000. Now, some might say their jobs are far more challenging than pushing a lever to drive a semi-automated train. This dispute is all about the Luddite attitude of the RMT and Asleff. They want to throw a spanner in the works of the Night Tube, which is the biggest development on the Underground for years, and it's not as if London Underground has said that its workers won't gain from this innovation. There's going to be hundreds of new jobs, more potential union members, you might think, and they get a 2% pay hike and a £2,000 one-off bonus. And yes, James O'Brien, an employer is indeed entitled to alter the time that you work, and they're under no obligation to offer any extra recompense, especially if it doesn't involve working extra hours. Now, in this case, London Underground have offered recompense in the form of this one-off bonus payment. And look what thanks they've got for it. Now, you ask a police officer or a nurse if they have any sympathy for the bleatings we've heard from the transport unions. All they're being asked to do is work is on 3 or 4 weeks a year to alter their shift patterns and to work 3 or 4 weekends a year. Is that really something that is so outrageous? I don't think it is. Now, James O'Brien says that tube drivers are suffering. Give me a break. He says that we've been reduced to craven, forelock-tugging peasants. What utter, utter bunkum. These aren't downtrodden workers scratching around for a living. They aren't migrants who come to this country and are exploited by a gangmaster at £2 an hour. These are people on double the average wage in this country. The only people who are suffering are the travelling public whose taxes and fares pay those salaries and who find themselves massively inconvenienced today. I'm not opposed to all strikes. I had great sympathy with the firefighters, for example. But that's totally different to this. Now, James reckons that employers nowadays have more control over our lives than at any point since the Second World War. Again, an easy soundbite, which some will lap up, but it is, of course, simplistic rubbish. We have equal pay, the 48-hour week, the minimum wage, minimum holiday entitlement, maternity pay, paternity pay, parental leave. None of these things were available in 1974, let alone 1945. And yes, there are rogue employers, just as there are rogue employees. Yes, there are greedy employers who pay themselves far too much. But we've got to a state in our society where anyone who runs a business, takes a risk, makes a profit, is seen by some in our society as a symptom of what's wrong with this country, rather than something to celebrate. It should be the reverse. When employers get things wrong, we shouldn't be afraid to say so. But we shouldn't get it into our heads that the first thing they do when they get out of bed in the morning is to think, how can I shaft my workforce today? Should we, James?